Greetings, everyone, and welcome to Under the Fig Tree. I'm Troy.
And I'm Bruce.
And we have a great episode for you today. Before we get started, hey, I wanted to talk to you a little bit about how this season's been going. I've had a lot of fun this season, and we're almost wrapping it up and getting ready for season five. And we have some cool stuff coming up for season five. I believe that's when we'll start with a little bit of video podcasting. So that looks like that's going to be a little fun. So be on the lookout for all that. I think we're up to 27 countries.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Something like that.
27 countries that we've been invading.
With our voices.
Yeah. Yeah. We've been invading with our voices. I think it's up to 27 countries. So the fig tree is growing. And I'm just happy to have Bruce back with us. I know he's been out of pocket for a little while.
They had me in a dungeon, y'all. Bread and water.
Bread and water.
So, they said I didn't know how to behave on the radio. So this is my trial. I'm back.
As a trial run. As long as he behaves, he stays out of the dungeon.
Oh, my God. I'm glad to be back, man.
It's good to have you back. Did you have any shout-outs you want to give?
No, just to all the listeners, man. I missed you guys. Just a big hello from my heart to yours, you know, and I tell you what, I do have one. Yep. I want to say hey to my sister up in the Maryland area.
She's
an avid listener and she'll be glad to hear my voice back on the podcast. And so God bless you, sis. I love you. You know who you are. I won't call you by name. You know who you are.
I love that. It's a good thing you're back. We needed some stability around here.
Oh, Lord. I got to leave now. If you're looking for me for stability, I got to go.
Well, we got a good topic. And Bruce, I want you to go ahead and kick off the topic, if you would.
Sure. We're going to talk a bit today, guys, about insecurities. I think that's a good topic.
Great topic.
At the end of this season, we're closing out this season four, man. And like you already said, we're getting ready for some really good stuff.
Yeah.
That's coming in season five. And we just have a lot of fun with this, man, because it's the word of God. And, you know, we live this stuff the best we can. Insecurity is something that I don't know many people who don't or haven't dealt with insecurity.
Yeah.
And there's so many different directions that we could go in. Obviously, we have a podcast around the Word of God.
Yes.
And so that's always going to be our standard for any subject that we talk about.
Always.
But what I have also found, which is really cool, is that, you know, we're not robots. We're humans. And so we can talk about something and give the biblical understanding of it, and then it touches every area of life.
Correct.
And so, yeah, we're going to talk about insecurity. Let's start with Romans. Romans 15, this is a real simple scripture, but I think it's a good one for this particular subject. Romans 15, verse 4 says, "For whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we through the patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope." I think that's a good place to start, man. As a matter of fact, I think I want to read verse 5 too. "Now may the God of patience and comfort grant you to be like-minded toward one another according to Christ Jesus, that you may with one mind and one mouth glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." The focus there for me is hope. And it references patience and comfort of the scriptures. So, yep. So for me, this idea of dealing with insecurities, you have to give yourself to the Word of God.
Mm-hmm.
You have to allow the Word of God to help you in the area of comfort.
Yeah.
You have to allow, and there's no way to talk about insecurity without bringing in identity.
Correct.
You know what I'm saying? Because to me, in my humble definition of it is that insecurities come from not knowing who you are, not having a solid identity. So they're tied like that. You know what I'm saying? So yeah, we're going to get into it, but I think that's a good place to start.
I think so, man. I'm in the boat with you. I don't think I know anybody that has not dealt with insecurity at some level or another.
Right.
Or to be quite honest with you, that isn't dealing
with insecurity
at Absolutely. Some level or another.
Absolutely.
I think because we're always becoming.
Yes.
There's new levels to attain.
Yep.
In Christ. Mm-hmm. And since we're becoming, we're learning more and more about who we are.
Yeah.
And in that learning process, the reason you learn it is because you're not sure of it in the first place.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
And so he says, take this yoke upon, or take my yoke upon you and learn of me, which gives you the indication you don't know everything about me.
That's right.
Right now. So we're always learning. We're always learning who he is. And the more we learn about who he is, the more we learn about who we are.
That's right.
And so I think there's some things, like for myself, I think there's some things that I know about myself now that I didn't know 4 years ago or mm-hmm. 5 years ago.
Right.
Right. And if you'd have told me 4 years ago where I would be now, I probably wouldn't believe it.
Right.
Because right. I had right. not had that experiential knowledge and all this yeah. kind of stuff. Right? right. So I think a lot of that lends itself to breaking off those insecurities. Experience does, but it's not the only way. It's not even the best way.
It's not even the best way. I mean, you know, at some point you have to just make up your mind
yes.
to believe.
Faith.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
To really just believe, well, you know, God, I come from the wrong side of the tracks, as some say, you know, or,
yeah.
you know, my family never did anything spectacular, or this is very big with, and I think a lot of people listening will resonate with this one, or I've been told that I'm no good.
Yeah.
I've been told that I'm like my no good, whoever, dad, you know, mom, whatever. I mean, just horrible words to speak to a child. But it certainly sets up for a lot of insecurity.
It does. And I want to park there for a minute.
Okay.
Because you know how we are. You just kind of flow.
Yeah.
You don't really have
yeah,
a format absolutely. Or anything.
Absolutely.
But that's one place that insecurities come from. What are some other places that you can think of?
Oh, man. Well, I mean, even performance insecurities.
Yeah.
I'm not confident that I can accomplish the task that's put before me.
Yeah.
A lot of it has to do with looking across the aisle and seeing someone else who might be quite confident.
Mm-hmm.
And instead of that encouraging you to be confident like they are,
mm-hmm.
it makes you shrink. You become like what some call the shrinking violet, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You shrink back instead of it motivating you. It brings you and you shrink.
Yeah.
So I think there's a lot of different things, man, that
That's a good one, though.
Yeah, it is.
Because
it really
you can
is.
Look at the success of other people.
Yeah.
You're like, I don't know if I could ever.
Yeah.
I've heard people say it before. Yeah.
I might have said it before at some point in my life, because I certainly dealt with a lot of insecurity.
Oh, sure. I have too.
Growing up, man.
Yeah.
I am, hey, Troy, I always say God has a sense of humor, you know, because at heart, I'm really an introvert at heart. I love people.
Yeah.
But as much as I love people, I love not being around people. you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And so he calls me to stand before people and to interact with people and puts his love in my heart for people.
Yeah.
But, oh, my God, it's like, you know, give me three really, really good friends, you know.
That's it.
And then I'm good, right, versus 30 in a room. 300 in a church, or, you know, 3,000 in an auditorium, whatever, right? Some people thrive off of that. That's not my vibe.
I'm with you.
You know what I'm saying? Even what we're doing right now, if I were to be really honest with you, even what we're doing right now for me is ministry.
Yeah.
It's not just, hey, you know, we ain't got nothing else to do. Let's just talk into a microphone and record it and send it to the world, right? So, you know, so I'm that person that could very easily be in the background,
yes.
you know, I do a lot of audio video stuff, and I would much rather be doing post production by myself for hours, and I'd be just happy.
Same
just,
here.
Just happy, happy. But at the same time, it doesn't mean I don't like people.
Correct.
I like people. You know what I'm saying? And so over the years, I had to choose to believe what God says about me.
Yeah.
And in choosing to believe what God says about me, when I'm put in situations where I have to be forthcoming, I have to be bright.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? I have to. I think one of the modern words the young people use is shine.
Yeah.
I have to shine.
Yeah.
Right? But I'm trying to shine for Jesus, even though I'd much rather, you know, be at the house and chilling, right? And so, you know, some people think, well, he's putting on or she's putting on, right? And it may be some of that, but not, you know, it's just you being willing to go beyond your comfort zone. And I think that's a good point for listeners, man, that you may not even always feel the confidence, but being willing to walk in it. Why? Because God says he knows who you are. And he says you're the apple of my eye, and I have a purpose and a plan for you.
Yeah, man.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I'm kind of like you in that same regard. I tell people this, and they're shocked by it. I hate public speaking.
Oh, me too.
I hate it.
Absolutely.
But it's not about what I want, you know, and if it was, I'm like, same thing. If it's up to me, put me behind a camera, put me in a director suite, put me on the soundboard.
Yep.
Put me somewhere where I can't be seen.
Yep.
And I'm fine.
Let me do the lights.
I'm fine.
Happy.
Give me a broom. Let me sweep or something. I'm fine. I don't have to be seen.
And I know you sincerely mean that.
Oh yeah.
Because you would get as much, joy out of
it's fulfilling
knowing that you're helping someone else shine,
yep.
especially when it comes to ministry.
Absolutely.
I know that about you because I'm in the same spot.
Yeah.
I feel just as good. I won't feel any better standing, being the main person on the center stage with the microphone, giving the word, than I would being in the background
exactly.
and helping them do the thing that God's called them to do.
Exactly. It was tough just to get this podcast started
years
ago because I didn't want to do it.
Yeah,
but and I tell you, to be honest with you, I stayed away from the analytics for the longest time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Right? Because I'm like, this could be a point of insecurity. If you start looking and you see some of these other podcasts getting 10,000 downloads a week and all this, and then you see what you're pulling down, it could be a point of insecurity. So I was like, no, I'm not going to look at the analytics. Yeah. And then I thought one day, no, we're doing what God told us to do, so it doesn't matter how many people listen, and that doesn't matter.
No, it doesn't.
We're doing exactly what he told us to do, so.
But I will say this. That's why I don't look at the analytics till today.
Yeah.
I don't know anything about them other than what you tell me.
I hear you.
He said, oh, man, we're in Bangladesh. Oh, really? Oh, praise the Lord, right? Other than what you feed to me, I have no interest whatsoever.
I hear you.
We just do what we
just do,
man.
Just do what God tells us to do,
you know what I'm saying?
Man.
And you know, we talk a lot about definitions, you know. Yeah. And that's one of those things where we've learned to allow God's definition of success to be enough.
Yes.
And see, that feeds into this insecurity thing.
It does.
Allowing God's definition of you to be enough.
Yeah, and that was I know for me getting into ministry.
Yeah.
In the beginning, because I watched, and you guys can't see me, but I got my quotes up. I watched what ministry looked like.
Oh, yeah.
You know, when I was growing up.
Sure.
I remember my dad when he was pastor in the church, and I remember my dad preaching. Had a beautiful voice.
Yeah.
And so the background we came from, when it's time to close out the sermon and you start doing all the hooping and all that kind of stuff. And I look.
Are you from the South?
I am from the South.
Okay, I'm just checking.
I don't have the voice for that. You know what I mean? I don't have that.
Right.
And I'm real laid back. I'm real calm. And when I'm ministering, I very rarely raise my voice.
Yeah.
Very rarely.
Right,
I teach. And so I had a hard time figuring out where I fit. Because
I'm
looking at these other guys, and this is what dude. And yet you had to learn, even in the back of my head, I knew that's not all there is to ministry. You don't have to present that way.
Right.
But I'm watching, and I'm like, it seems like this is what the people are getting.
Yeah.
What they're accustomed to.
Because you're also watching their reaction.
Correct. Correct.
The reaction of the crowd.
Correct. And I had to learn that has nothing to do with anything.
Yeah.
And there was an old preacher. He's passed on. He's relatively well known. I won't mention his name.
Okay.
But I didn't really listen to him on a regular basis.
Okay.
And I just happened to be listening to a clip, a little soundbite from one of his teachings.
Mm-hmm.
And he said something that completely turned the light on for me. Because I'm a teacher.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I do.
That's right? What you are.
And he said that Jesus preached to the lost, but he taught in the synagogue.
Yep.
And when he said that,
I knew that's where you were going.
Turned the light on for me, and I saw where I fit.
Yeah.
Like, I don't so have good. To do all that. I don't. This is what you're called to do.
That's so good.
Just do what I called you to do.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So I had a little bit of insecurity in the beginning.
Yeah.
And every now and then it tries to creep back up.
Yeah, sure.
To be honest with you.
Sure.
You know, it tries to creep back up. But
well, not only does it try to creep back up, I mean, but it seems we're always faced with our own desires.
Sure.
So sometimes it's just a plain old desire. Boy, I wish I could sing like that.
Oh,
boy,
yeah.
I wish I could preach like that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Boy, I wish I could paint like that.
Yeah.
You know, I love painting, but I can't paint like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's really something, Troy, to be said concerning how I'm going to say it like this, how the world has taught the average person to discount the gifts.
That's a good one.
That they have.
That's a good one.
The gifts that God has given every human being in the planet. And he's so good, even those that don't acknowledge him.
Still gave
them
gifts.
He still gave them gifts. But the world system, in my opinion, has taught humans all over the world to discount what they have. And so you spend more time looking across the field, per se,
mm-hmm.
or looking across the fence at somebody else's grass that looks so wonderfully green, but you don't know, number one, what it costs for that grass to be green.
That's right.
Number two, you don't know, is it really green or is he getting up late at night when everybody's sleeping and painting it green? So it's the appearance of being healthy,
yep.
but not really. You don't know if there's snakes in that garden. You know, so there's so many things that comparing yourself to someone else, there's so many things about that can go wrong.
Sure.
You know what I'm saying? And really, you know, really mess you up if you're not careful.
Sure. I know a lot of people that have that comparison going on and their ministry becomes performance based.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, and then when it becomes performance based, it almost seems like you can never do enough.
Yeah. Right. You know? Right. Right.
And just in that, for any of the folks out there that might be a ministry or what we call ministry,
mm-hmm.
Especially public ministry, there's this overwhelming, sometimes overwhelming, I don't want to say it's every time, there's this overwhelming feeling sometimes you get after you minister, like, I should have said this, I should have said that.
Yep.
I should have said this.
Yep.
That's that insecurity.
Yep, being your worst critic.
Exactly. It's trying to creep in.
Yep.
You need to recognize what that is and then understand the things that you said were the things that needed to be said.
That's right.
Right.
That's right.
And anything more than that
even,
is too much.
Even if you didn't hit every point in your notes.
Yep.
Even if you didn't hit anything in your notes.
Correct.
And, you know, which is really what you want, man.
Be led by the Spirit of God.
You want to be free enough in him.
Yep.
To be led by him.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? You want to be free enough in him to be led by him. And all of that helps this idea of insecurity. All of that helps, you know, and it's a journey. So, you know, it's interesting, man, because you could have someone that runs a Fortune 500 company
mm-hmm.
and they have a big deal coming up and they're nervous.
Yeah.
You know, they're doing billion-dollar deals, but that doesn't mean that they're not nervous about it.
Right.
Maybe it's their first billion-dollar deal and they're nervous because they don't want it to go. You know, so I'm just seeing how it covers every area. It's not just for those that are a Pavarotti that can sing so beautifully, you know what I'm saying? Or someone that can play 15 instruments, you know, perfectly, every one of them. And we're looking at the perfection or what looks like perfection or near perfection. It's not just that. Those people still have insecurities.
Yeah.
You know, they've just decided to go a little further in their gifting than maybe the next person. But I don't know anybody that doesn't deal with some level of insecurity. Let's see. I think I got another scripture for you.
Let's go.
Psalm 42:11 came to mind. Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him. Boy, I like that right there.
Amen.
I shall yet praise him, the help of my countenance and my God. Wow. You have to say to yourself, yo, man, I've done this so many times.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, get yourself up and get back in faith.
Yeah.
And keep going, because you know God loves you. I'm talking to myself.
Yeah.
You know God loves you. You know he has a plan for you. It doesn't matter what it looks like right now. It doesn't matter how you feel about it. You have to go with what you know. And what you know is the word of God. And that greater is he that is in you. You got to preach to yourself.
Yes,
greater
you
is he that is in you than he that is in the world. You know, I can overcome everything because of him being on the inside of me. I am an overcomer because he has overcome. You really have to make up your mind that you're going to speak to those insecurities and not let those insecurities speak and therefore rule your life.
This is one of those things that the Bible talks about when it's telling you to take every thought captive.
Take every thought captive,
that
yeah.
That exalts itself above the knowledge of God. These thoughts of insecurity come to combat the things that God has already said about you.
Yes.
And if you start to embrace these thoughts, what tends to happen, you can't not believe.
Yeah.
You're going to believe something.
Right.
We're just wired that way. So are you going to believe what the insecurity is saying, or are you going to believe what God is saying?
That's right.
Right? So but one or the other, you're going to believe one or the other.
Yeah, that's right.
And honestly, it's impossible to believe both at the same time.
Right.
So I have to take these thoughts, and I have to find these passages that tell me, remind me of what God has said about me. So when that thought comes in that, God doesn't care about you. No, I'm loved.
Yeah. That's right.
You know, if nothing else, for God so loved the entire world.
That's right.
That includes
me.
That's right. You know, so you can't tell me I'm not loved. He loves me.
That's right.
You know, you have to find those scriptures and you have to hammer those things home.
You do.
And use that. You don't combat the thoughts with thoughts. You combat the thoughts with the word.
With words.
And you have to speak.
That's exactly.
And that's
right.
What we have to do. Like, I love the example you use where you got to preach to yourself. You're like,
oh, yeah.
Talk to you. Get up.
Get up. Get yourself up.
Yeah.
And that's the scripture I just read,
yeah.
Psalm 42. You have to say to yourself, why are you cast down? Why are you acting like God ain't real?
Exactly.
Why are you acting like he don't know who you are?
Yeah.
Because someone much lower than him, some other human being, maybe told you that you're not good enough.
Yeah.
Why is that messing you up?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
That's
just,
the thing,
just analyze yourself. You know, sit yourself on the couch. You know what I'm saying? And just lay there and talk to Jesus. You know what I'm saying?
That's it.
Jesus, please help me, because I don't know why that messed me up so badly. They're human.
Yeah.
You've already told me who I am.
Yeah.
But you have to do that. You have to get beyond. I used to say this all the time, man, back in the day to when a particular church that we were part of for a while. You know, you've lost the fight if you go somewhere and sit down and just be quiet. You're done for.
That's true. That's the isolation. And there's two things wrong. Number one, it's not good for you to be alone.
That's right.
And number two, he created you to speak.
That's exactly right.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so, yeah, man, you're done. If you don't press beyond and open your mouth and say, I know God loves me.
Yeah.
I have even sung the little song.
Yes,
Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me, for the Bible tells me so. Yeah, whatever it takes, man.
Yeah.
Whatever it takes. And then if I can hang out in 42 for a minute, Psalm 42, verse
mm-hmm.
11,
mm-hmm.
it goes on to say, for I shall yet praise him. Oh, boy. There's nothing that busts up insecurity like praising God when you don't feel like it.
Yes, sir.
You know?
Yes, sir.
Praising God. I will praise him. I will praise him. I'm not waiting for my favorite praise song to motivate me.
That's right.
I'm going to lift my hands and I'm going to say to God, I'm not even singing a song. I will praise him with my lips. God, you're good. God, you're great.
Yeah.
God, you're incredible. You love me so much. I know I shouldn't even be here, God. I know how bad I was, and you know even more than I know how bad I was.
That's
and
right.
yet you had a plan for me just the same. I just want to come back and say thank you. You know what I think about all the time? It's a little bit of a hole I'm going to go down for a half a second. But I think about when Jesus healed those 10 lepers.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And the one, specifically the one that comes back.
Mm-hmm.
And says, you know, man, I always picture him walking down the road just in awe that he no longer has leprosy.
Yeah.
Just looking at himself and not feeling the pain, you know, of leprosy on him anymore. All the pain.
Knowing he can
gone.
Go back to his family and knowing he can go back to his friends and all this. Yeah.
And he's walking away and he's tripping, man. That's the picture yeah. I get. And he yeah. says, no, no, I got to go back. I got to go back and yeah. say thank you.
Yeah.
That's powerful to me, man, because yeah. I've had to do it many times. You know what I'm saying? Which leads me to the next point, because we're talking, you know, it sometimes things don't work out, Troy.
That's the truth.
You know? And so that's when you really have to know that he loves yeah. you, that he cares for you, that he still has a plan for you. When it doesn't work out,
so I'm because I already know we'll probably get at least an email about this. What he's saying is sometimes things don't work out the way you want.
The way you want. That's exactly what
I already
saying.
Know. Somebody's going to say, "Well, all things work out together." For
oh,
me.
Lord.
Yeah, you're right. You're absolutely. When it comes to script, it
when your expectation
there you go.
Is not met. How about
there
that?
You go. There you go.
How about that?
Oh,
save the email.
Please,
we'll change the wording. When your expectation is not met.
You feel disappointed because you had a certain outcome.
Yes.
This is what you wanted.
Yes.
And it didn't happen the way you wanted it.
There you go.
And you don't trust God to do it the way you need it, not the way you want it.
There you go.
He'll give it to you the way you need it, not always the way you want it.
That's right.
And so, yeah, I like that. I like when you read in that part and it says, I will yet. That's important.
I will yet.
Even though the circumstance hadn't changed.
Yes.
You know, I'm still in pain.
In spite of everything.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
It's still going on. No. I haven't got climbed out of this hole yet. Mm-mm. But even while I'm in it, I will yet praise you.
And you know why I believe that is so powerful to God?
Mm-hmm.
Because it is a beautiful act of faith.
Sure.
You're saying, I'm going to praise you. Irrespective of my circumstances. It's bad.
Yeah.
Oh, it's bad right now. But I've at least come to the place of understanding that no matter where I find myself, you're still worthy.
Correct.
No matter what circumstances I'm dealing with, God, you're still worthy. That's a beautiful revelation to yet. And that'll cause you to give worship and praise and honor and glory to him no matter what.
Yeah.
And I believe that speaks very loudly to God, man.
I believe it does, because to piggyback on that, you're really saying this thing between me and you,
yeah,
this relationship between me has nothing to do with nothing else.
Has nothing to do with anything
All
else.
This other stuff, yeah. it's still just me and
yeah,
you.
That's right.
You know, so.
That's right.
So that's what I love. And you, Saul.
Yeah.
And then you have David.
Mm-hmm.
You get a Saul, then you have a David.
Yeah.
Saul and then a David. Biggest difference between them.
Day and night.
Was the relationship.
That's it.
That they had.
That's it.
The kingdom got rent from Saul, and Saul's been telling, no, I like being king. What are you doing, Sam? I like being king.
Mm-hmm.
But when David got in trouble with God, he's like, you take everything you want, just don't take your presence
take
from
your
me.
Presence. Ugh.
That's the key right there. Because this thing between me and you is between me and you.
That's right.
That's it. You know.
At the end of the day, God, I can put everything on the altar or on the trash heap, I should say.
There you go.
I can put everything on the trash heap, but I can't live without you.
Yeah.
I can't. And I think that speaks loudly to God. I got another scripture.
Let's go.
Philippians 4, 6 and 7.
I think 7. I had that.
You got that?
But yeah, it's cool.
You want to read it?
No, go ahead. You're good.
Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. It's real simple. Mm-hmm. And then it goes on to say, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, I have peace. I don't understand why, because I'm in the midst of trouble.
Yeah.
Will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So I read it again. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, in everything, prayer, supplication, petition, whatever you want to call it, with thanksgiving. There's that I will yet mm-hmm. again. With thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God, and the peace of God. So what am I doing? I'm practicing not being anxious. I'm practicing not being insecure. I think that's some practical application.
It is.
I'm not faking it. I'm practicing. Mm-hmm. I may not be the best ball player on the court, but I'm practicing.
Yeah.
And people laugh because I got an ugly layup. You know what I'm saying? I got an ugly free throw. That's me for real. I couldn't play basketball if somebody tied me to the hoop. Yeah, I just it's, you know. And but I'm practicing.
Yeah.
And if I keep practicing, I will get better. You know what I'm saying? I will get better. And so I think that's important to make that point, because once again, sometimes people can even feel like, well, God, this is not real. I'm faking it. I don't feel any of it. No, a lot of living this life is practicing what we were told to do, we were told to live. We have to practice.
You must practice. I like this passage because it says the peace of God.
Yeah.
You allow, right? You allow the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, to guard your heart and your minds. That's mm-hmm. your soulish realm.
Yeah.
This is where that identity and your identity exists, in your soulish realm. And this is where you get attacked with the insecurity, is in your soulish realm.
Right.
So the insecurity is actually an indication of the lack of peace that's in your soulish realm.
Yeah. Right. Right.
And so you're saying, now this is the thing, it says that this peace of God will guard that soulish realm.
Yep.
It'll guard that, which means as long as you stay in God's peace, the insecurity it doesn't stand a chance. It can't penetrate that peace.
Yes.
When that peace is disrupted, that's when the insecurity can get in.
Yeah. Yeah, that's good. That's real good.
I like this passage.
Yeah.
In fact, I love this passage because it answers a whole lot of questions for you.
Yeah, it does. It does.
What else you got?
Let's see. What about Romans 8? You know where I'm going. Mm-hmm. Romans 8, verse 28.
Let's go.
You know what? I'm gonna jump back to 26.
Okay.
So I'm gonna start Romans 8, verse 26, and read into somewhere down the line. Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought to, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Verse 27, now he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Then verse 28, and we know, I love that,
mm-hmm.
and we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. I love that.
Yeah.
Full stop. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God. You love God. You may not be good at, you may not be good at this or that, or, you know, some aspect of this walk, but you do love God.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? To those who are the called, which, you know, now it's not you loving God, it's God loving you and having given you purpose.
Yep.
Right? But you're choosing to believe it.
Yeah.
And if you're choosing to believe it, there's a knowledge that comes. You kind of spoke to that just now. Mm-hmm. There's a knowledge that comes that will protect your thinking.
Absolutely.
And protect your emotions.
Absolutely. Right? Yeah.
And protect all of those feelings and all of those things, right? And you learn not to be driven by those things. You mm-hmm. learn to be led by His Spirit and That's by the Word of God.
That's the key.
So you're literally transitioning from being driven mm-hmm. by one thing, the insecurities and everything that's causing the insecurity, to being led by His Spirit. He leadeth us by the still waters. He restores our soul, kind of thing, you know?
Yeah, so it'd be safe to say that if you're driven, that's probably not from God.
No.
Yeah.
That's a good way to say it.
If you're feeling driven.
Been saying that for years.
Yeah.
If you feel driven, you're probably not from God. Because he leads us.
I got it.
You know?
I love it.
I mean, that's what he said. You know, he's the good shepherd.
Yeah.
The good shepherd leads us. How's he leads us? He leads us with his voice.
With his voice.
His voice is his word.
Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying? So, yeah. Yeah.
I do like this. I have one because this ties in, mm-hmm. you know, all things work together for good for those that are called, for those that love the Lord that are called according to his purpose.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you love God and you're called according to his purpose,
right,
all this stuff will work out for your good, right?
Yeah.
Here's the thing. It doesn't say if you're perfect. It says if you love God and you're called according, everybody's called.
Yes.
Right? And everybody has purpose. But if you love God, not if you're perfect.
Yeah.
Not if you did every single thing right. Right? Not if you've been walking with him forever.
Yeah.
All this kind of stuff.
Not if you're the consummate preacher.
Correct. You just got to love him.
The most perfect praise team leader. Yeah.
You just got to love him. you just got to love him. And you already know you're called according to
the biggest giver in the church.
Oh, my goodness.
Surely God, you know, has me over here on the side. He has a special, you know, special seat for me. No. I love God.
What I love is the passage I had was in 1 John 3. It says, behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called the children of God.
Yes, sir.
He loves us to the point. He wants us to be in his family. He wants us to be part of the family of God. And he has adopted us, which I love that term.
Yes.
He has adopted us into the family of God. He did that on purpose. He wanted you. If you're out there listening and you're part of the family of God, you've been adopted. You've been grafted in for our Gentile brethren. You've been grafted in. Listen, when you're adopted, that doesn't happen by accident. Adoption is always on purpose. So he meant to choose you. He chose you before you chose yourself.
Oh, boy, such a good point.
These are some of the things that you have to remind yourself when you start to have those battles with insecurity. God has chosen me.
Yeah.
And when he chose me, he meant to choose me. He knew all the foolish things I would do, and he still chose me.
That's right.
He knew what I would become, and he still chose me.
He knew how long it would take.
Oh, my goodness, man. I'm telling you, that's for me. I'm a project.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm a project for real.
You know, for real. And you know, and he still chose us.
Still chose us.
Oh, man, that's good stuff.
That's got to mean something to you.
It has
it's
to gotta
mean something to you.
You know, and if that, I'll say it like this, if that don't pull you up.
I don't know.
You know, if that doesn't shore you up on the inside.
I don't know.
And you become more solid, it might be because you don't want to be.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
and I'm not even trying to be flippant or, you know, ugly about it. You know, I unfortunately know some people that love hanging out in the woe is me. You know, they've gotten so used to it.
It becomes comfortable.
You couldn't pull them up if you tied them to a crane, man. You know what I'm saying? And tried to lift them up there. They would fight against you. No, stay down here. Stay down here because it's more comfortable to complain about it.
Yeah.
Than to believe him to trust him. Because guess what? The other part of this whole thing of coming out of the insecurities of life is having to accept the requirements of life. Mm. The requirements that God puts on us that if you're going to be with me, if you're going to hang with me, then these are the things that I expect from you.
Yeah.
And some people I have found that they're just not interested in God putting any kind of requirement on me.
Yeah.
Just, you know, just let me hold hands with you, God, and sing Kumbaya, and I'll be happy. And he says, yeah, no, but you're missing so much. You're missing the growth that I have planned for you. You know, you're missing the strength that I have. You're missing the opportunity of being a blessing to someone else because you won't let me pull the baby bottle out of your mouth.
That's it.
You know, and teach you how to get up and walk.
Mm-hmm.
You want me to keep picking you up, the babies, right? Some babies, they get what we call spoiled. I don't really care for that word so much anymore. I used to use it all the time.
Yeah.
But because it's trained behavior. So you can train a baby to be confident.
Or you can train to be spoiled.
Or you can train a baby to be spoiled. And every mm-hmm. time they go, ah, you run and pick them up.
Yeah.
Well, good luck with that when they're 5 and 10 and 15 and 20 and 30.
Yeah.
And maybe even 40 in 2025, you know, who are having fits mm-hmm. and don't know how to regulate, you know what I'm saying, and how to act in public and that kind of thing. We're almost at epidemic proportions, if I just be real honest about it from my perspective, because someone didn't train.
That's right.
Some of these young folks.
Oh boy.
You know what I'm saying? To be confident in who they are mm-hmm. and not try to make other people responsible for their comfort.
Yeah.
Because they're not confident.
That's it.
In who they are. I'll leave it at that.
Perfect.
I'll say no more about that. Not pointing out any groups. I'm saying that this is stuff that I've seen.
Yeah, yeah.
You know.
Just lack of discipline.
Yeah. Right?
Lack of discipline. Absolutely. I think that's a good point, because that's a lot of the insecurity does come from a lack of discipline.
Comes from a lack of discipline.
And we're not talking punishment. We're talking discipline.
Oh, I'm so glad you said that.
Yeah, and I think people equate punishment and discipline as the same.
No.
Punishment can be a part of discipline, but discipline is discipline. Punishment is punishment.
That's right.
They're different.
That's exactly right.
Discipline is just setting parameters and showing you to stay within these parameters. That's all it is. Well,
being a disciple of Jesus is not punishment.
No, it's just...
It's committing
mm-hmm.
to a particular way of life.
And that's it.
That's it.
That's it.
I'm going to get up every day and I'm going to do ABC 1, 2, 3.
I'm going to honor God with my life.
I'm going to honor God with my life.
I'm going to do what Jesus tells me to do.
Discipline.
It's discipline. That's all it is.
You know?
Yeah.
Someone who's trying to lose weight, guess what they got to do? They got to become extremely disciplined.
Got
to
be disciplined.
They put the potato chips down. You know what I'm saying? But I want them. I want them. But I know this is not good. And what happens? Someone who is really serious about it will say, oh, yeah, I want them. They can now acknowledge,
mm-hmm.
oh, I want them, but I don't need them.
Yeah.
They're going to taste good, but they're not going to be good for me.
That's right.
You know what I'm saying? So now do the same thing when it comes to the Word of God, when it comes to that little voice that's trying to tell you that you're not who you think you are, or who do you think you are? That's the other one. Who do you think you are?
Yeah.
If your answer is not, I am a child of God. I am the blessed of the Lord, and I'm saying so. You know what I'm saying? Then there's some work to be done, but you can get there. You can get there. Amen?
Through discipline.
Yeah, man.
It always worked through discipline.
Yes, sir.
I have 1 Corinthians 6.
Okay.
You know what? I wanted to read 11.
Okay.
But I think I'm going to start before that.
Go for it.
I'm in verse 9. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminates, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. And such, now here's the thing, and such were some of you.
Some of you.
Right?
Yep.
This is what you were.
Yeah.
This is what you were. You're not that anymore.
Yeah.
This is what you were. And such were some of you.
Yeah.
But you were washed. But you were sanctified. But you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God.
Yeah.
You have to always remember that, that these are the things I used to do.
Yeah.
And Paul's not even saying that these are the things that you used to do. He said, these are the things that you were.
Yeah. Right.
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 You were these things.
Yeah.
But now you've been washed.
Right.
You've been justified and you've been sanctified. This is the type of speech that you have to use against this insecurity.
That's right.
I know a lot of people who love God and they have the desire in their heart to follow after Christ, but because of a religious system that they grew up in,
yeah,
they're not sure how. Mm-hmm. And their minds have been clouded over time because the man-made rules makes Jesus unattainable. Right?
Yeah.
And so I know he's upset with me. I know he's angry with me because I didn't get up and pray this morning.
Right.
You know, and I didn't get up and pray yesterday.
Yeah.
And I know he's upset. But you have to remember, you've been justified.
Yes.
You've been washed and you've been sanctified. The things that Paul is pointing out is this lifestyle that made you who you were.
Yeah.
As opposed to a new lifestyle that God has called you to and he declared you to be.
Yeah.
As opposed, you see what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely.
So he declares you to be righteous.
Yeah.
Right? Mm. And that's nothing you had to do, right? There's nothing you did, Bruce, when he declared you righteous. There's nothing you did for that. And so what is my response? My response to him declaring me to be righteous is that I live holy.
Yes, that's right.
You see what I mean?
That's right.
And so I decide to live holy. I pick up this thing, and I decide to live a set-apart life.
That's right.
The world knows that I'm righteous when I decide to live holy.
Yeah.
And I think sometimes because people do get caught up so much in the works and I didn't do. There's no way I could be righteous. No. He already said you were.
Yeah.
And you have to remember that.
That's right.
Now you have to respond to it.
That's right. Well, and that takes us back to, I said something when we first started talking about that performance-based insecurity.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? That's kind of what you're talking
about. It'll never be enough.
It will never be enough.
No.
You know, it's so interesting. You know, you mentioned, you gave an example like, you know, oh God, I didn't get up and pray this morning. I'm so sorry. And you go through this whole repentance thing. I'm so sorry, God. Oh God, I'm horrible. I'm terrible. And you don't realize that you are speaking against what he said about you.
Yeah.
But here's another, and I hope this helps people and doesn't confuse anyone.
Mm-hmm.
Here's another aspect of that, though. Sometimes people beat themselves up for not doing something that God never told them to do in the first place.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah.
Well, it's religion all day.
All day long.
You beat yourself up and apologize to God and cry and all of that stuff, you know, and you feel bad, genuinely feel bad.
Mm-hmm.
But it wasn't something God told you to do in the first place.
Yeah.
You just felt that it was your religious duty.
I've been there.
To do. Oh, so have I.
I've been there.
I was there, to be quite transparent. I was there for the better part of 20 years.
Yeah.
And then the Lord came and said, hey, man, you know, I can't leave you here. This is a conversation God actually had with me in my heart.
Yeah.
You know, I can't leave you here, because if I leave you here, you'll never fulfill all that I have in my heart for you. You know, so I've been there too, man.
Yeah.
You know, and that's why I know it. You know what I'm saying? That's why I know that this is one of those aspects, right?
Oh, yeah.
You know, beating yourself up, you know, and being in the low place, in the mully grubs, for something that he never told you to do in the first place.
Yeah.
You know, and that was one of the things that God told me personally when I was on my way out the door of where we were at the time. He said, half the things you did, I told you this story before. Mm-hmm. Half the things you did, I'm not trying to get you to lose your family by being at the church 24/7.
I'm
not trying to get you to lose your children. I'm not trying to make your children hate me because I won't let you, you know, have a day off to go to their football games or whatever. That's not who I am.
You're going to have to explain that for the people in the back. So you're telling me that ministry does not come before my family. That's what you're telling me.
Bingo. Bingo. That's exactly what I'm saying.
I hear you.
God comes before everything and everybody.
Yeah.
ministry has its place.
Yeah.
Can I say that again?
You can.
God comes before everything and everybody, but ministry has to have its place.
That's right.
And so many people think that God and ministry are synonymous, that they're the same. They are not.
They are not.
Because you establish a relationship with God.
That's right.
But you do ministry.
There you go.
They're not the same. And you could lose your whole family.
Yes.
Thinking that they're the same, as I did for the better part of the first 20 years of walking with the Lord. And that's just, you know, I hope you guys can take straight honesty, because, you know, otherwise, why are we doing a podcast?
Exactly.
Let's just talk real straight about it. You know,
I believe
we're
in
not
that.
We're not there now. No. Thank God we're not there now. And I know that relationship with him is bigger and better than anything.
Mm-hmm.
And that I can preach as many times as I want in a year, or I can preach none like I've done this last year and a half. Well, I've only preached, I think, once this whole year and a half. Once.
Wow.
Because I am in a different place, and that place that I find myself is learning some more things about my Father.
Yeah.
Coming into greater relationship. And that whole idea of insecurity and being completely severed from performance-based relationship.
Yeah.
Now I'm just a son. You're learning how to be just a son. I've been in this thing a long time, man, but still, he never lets you rest on your so-called laurels or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't let you rest on the work, because the only thing about the work is the work must come out as a result of the relationship.
That's right.
If anything you're doing is not a result of your good, solid relationship with him, then I hate to tell you, but it's you know, it may or may not survive the fire.
Mm.
It may or may not survive the purifying. If we're doing anything that's not birthed out of your relationship with him.
I agree.
You know?
I agree. Let me let's switch gears a little bit.
Okay.
We talked a little bit about insecurity. Let's talk a little bit about what insecurity leads to.
Okay.
So I've seen people, you know, and not just in ministry, I'm just talking about in life in general.
Mm-hmm.
Because insecurity has been a big part of their lives. I think it leads and it lends itself to improper handling of other folks around them.
Oh, absolutely.
If that makes sense.
Absolutely makes sense.
So to help make it a little more clear, if a man is insecure, and I think everybody has seen this in somebody's life or another, he could properly or improperly handle his wife.
Yeah.
Right? He may not treat his wife the way she ought to be treated.
That's right.
And it's really a result of him not understanding who he is.
Yes.
And not accepting who God has created him to be.
It's a good example.
Right? And I've seen this with a lot of people, and sometimes it just boils down to that. You're like, I don't even know why this guy's acting this way.
Yeah.
Well, there's some insecurity there.
Yeah, right.
A lot of times there's going to be, sometimes people just aren't just born mean or born, you know, you got to get past that. It's like, okay, I understand this is a mean cuss here. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But why is he?
Yeah, right. Let's get to the root of it.
What causes this?
Yeah.
And I think a lot of times when you're able to scrape past the surface and start to drill down, even if it's not the root, on the way you're going to pass insecurity.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know,
absolutely.
While you're on your way to the root. And I think that's one of the things I see.
Yeah.
That insecurity, just improperly handling people.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's huge, man. And I'm glad you used a male as an example of the point you just made, because I'm going to turn and use a female, use females, so that, and hopefully they don't feel like they're being picked on, since you already used the example of how a man might treat his wife, you know, improperly because of insecurity. One of the things that that I have witnessed among females is and some of you women will hear this and you know it's right. So just go ahead and shake your head because you know it's right. If you didn't participate, that's fine. But you've seen it many times.
Yeah.
You're sitting somewhere, maybe in a restaurant with your wife or whatever. And another female walks in and they look each other up and down and decide immediately that they don't like each other.
Yeah.
Or one decides that she doesn't like the one that just walked in. They don't know each other from Adam.
Nah.
That's insecurity.
That is insecurity.
I believe that's a manifestation of insecurity.
I know it is.
You know what I'm saying? It doesn't matter. I mean, you know, and I've seen it many times. Now, I will say this. In my experience, most men don't function like that.
No.
But I know that men can have the manifestation of insecurity, as you just said,
yeah,
that may come out in other ways. But this is one of them that has always fascinated me. You know what I'm saying? It's like, that's insecurity. And that's what I would say to myself every time I, you know, sometimes it's be completely nonverbal.
Well, yeah, you have no reason to not like the woman that you've never laid
that
eyes
you've
with.
Never laid eyes
she just
before.
Walked in the room and he's like, yeah,
look at
like
her shoes.
Yeah.
It's like, oh my God. Don't y'all beat us up, ladies. We're not picking on you, but we are having fun with
we
it.
We are having fun.
It is true for everybody, but we also know that it's true, you know, for a lot of women.
It's the weirdest thing.
You know, and it's a very strange thing, man, because most men do not function that way. So for me, it's I hate, I'm probably wrong for saying this, but it's kind of entertaining. You know, it's because I do like the, oh boy, this, we're in a lot of countries that folks won't understand this, but for Americans, there used to be a commercial with the little RCA dog.
Oh yeah,
and he would, you know, and he
tilt his head.
He hears the sound coming out of this the old record player.
Yeah,
and he tilts his head because he's curious, like, what is going on there, right? And that's the way I do, man. I'm like, wow, that's amazing. I know you don't know that person,
but you don't like her.
But you don't like her.
It is strange,
and you might even say it. I don't like her. Oh, I can tell right now. Look at her. Look at her. You know? It's like, you need to get saved. You really need to get saved, man. It's funny, but at the end of the day, I think it's rooted in insecurity.
I think it is. What are some other things you can see insecurity leading to? It can be destructive, you know. Insecurity can be very destructive. I don't think it... Let me say it the right way, because I just felt like Holy Spirit checked me. It is always destructive, but it doesn't always end in destruction.
Yeah, no, I agree, man. I think there's so many different, I'll use the word manifestations. I spoke earlier about the shrinking violet, the person that shrinks back.
Mm-hmm.
But I think one of the other manifestations of an insecure person, male, female, doesn't matter, is that sometimes they overproject.
Yeah.
They're louder. You know what I'm saying? Okay, I can't shrink back, so what I'm going to do is try to cover my insecurity by being in your face, by being the loudest one in the room, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I inside of me, I'm screaming, please don't look at me, please don't call on me, please. But the way I handle it is that I act like I'm outgoing.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I think that's that's a manifestation sometimes of insecurity.
That's interesting, because I know that to be true. You see people overcompensate all the time.
Yes.
And there's almost this false bravado.
Yeah.
Not just for men, but women too.
Yeah.
You know, that they'll carry themselves with.
Yeah.
And that's what makes the whole thing that you said earlier about the one woman that walks in the room and you're like, oh, I don't like her. She thinks she's cute, but... She could be the most insecure person in the world, but you just don't know what's going on with people.
And I'll say this, I've seen it, unfortunately, I've seen it in what we call ministry. Got my quote fingers up too.
Yeah.
What we know and what most people would consider ministry. Let me say it like this, I've seen it among ministers.
Mm.
You know, you get more than one prophet in the room.
Oh, man.
And things can get really weird.
Yeah.
It can get really competitive. if you're not secure in who you are. If you're not secure enough, I'm going to say it. If you're not secure enough to, when they come to you and say, hey, do you got something? Because you just listened, all of you just listened to the prophet before you, who just laid out some beautiful stuff. If you're not secure enough to say, hey, you know what? God gave me the same thing. There's no need for me to repeat it.
No.
That what he said or what she said is beautiful.
Yeah.
I concur. I believe that's the Lord because the Lord gave me a bunch of the same stuff. And so go on, give the mic to somebody else, right? But what I have seen in the past is, yeah, you got to meet that challenge now.
Yeah, that's crazy.
It's so crazy. It's so crazy. But I've seen it among, you know, pastors. I've seen it among ministers in general.
I'll say this. Competition in the kingdom is ridiculous.
It is.
There's no competition in the kingdom.
There shouldn't be.
No. When you start competing in the kingdom, it is ridiculous.
Troy, you've heard me say this before. I'll say it again for the listeners. God is not impressed with the gifts he's given you.
That's right.
I'll say it again for those that are in the back. God is not impressed with the gifts that he's given you.
That's right.
Why would he be impressed? The gifts came from him.
Yeah.
And you have nothing to brag on because they didn't come from you.
That's right.
And that's why there should be no competition in the kingdom.
None.
None.
None. Full stop, right?
Full stop.
I love it.
Can we go on?
Yeah.
Isaiah 41:10. So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous hand.
Mm-hmm.
That's good stuff right there.
Yeah.
That's good stuff.
That's the comfort needed.
That's the comfort needed.
You have to place value on yourself. I'll say this because I believe it to be true. The false humility that a lot of people operate in is really pride.
It absolutely is pride.
It really is pride. And you just kind of cloak it in this humility.
Yep.
And it's okay to say the things about you that God has already said about you.
Yes.
In fact, it's warranted to do that.
Right.
And you should do that consistently.
Yes.
I am blood washed.
Yeah.
I am redeemed.
Right.
I am sanctified. I am set apart. Those things that he's already said, I am righteous. It's okay to say it because he's already said it.
That's right.
It's so funny because a lot of times you ask the question, how many people are righteous? And people will not raise their hand.
Yeah, right.
You know, right. Well, no, I'm not righteous in my own self.
I'm not there yet.
That's not the question I asked you, though, you know. Right. You know, but if God said you're righteous, then that's what you are.
That's what you are.
It's that simple. I think it's okay. In fact, I know it's okay to say those things about yourself that God has said about you.
And you know what, Troy? Maybe the fact that you're not comfortable with saying them and therefore you don't say them on a regular basis may be why it's taking you so long to get past insecurities.
I will agree. See how twisted that is?
It's completely twisted.
Yeah, yeah. And you just, this is part of, so you want to deal with this, and I think that's probably the best direction to go now. How do we deal with it? And I think one of the ways to deal with it is meditating on the word.
Yeah.
He told Joshua, if you meditate on the word day and night, you keep this word in your mouth and do not depart from it. He said, you will find good success.
That's right.
You'll find good success.
Yep.
Just by doing what I told you to do, you'll find good success.
Yep.
And I think part of the, let me say it this way. When you look at that word meditate in the Hebrew, it gives the connotation or indication, I should say, of imagining.
Right.
So imagine yourself being sanctified. Imagine yourself being blood washed. Imagine yourself being righteous.
Yes.
You know, imagine being the things that God has told you and imagine seeing the promises that God has given. That's imagine seeing that stuff. That's part of the process of the meditating, right? Imagine that. Just start to see that. And do that on a regular basis.
Yep.
And start to build faith for those things.
Yes, sir.
Start to build faith for the things that God's already said about you. Start to embrace those things. And the more you embrace them, the more you build faith for them, the natural thing to do is you're going to start to do the things that you believe.
That's right.
So once that thing gets in your heart and you believe that, you're going to start to walk out righteousness. You're going to start walking out being washed. You're going to start to walk out being sanctified. It's just, this is how we're wired, right?
That's right.
And so I think that's probably one of the better things to do as far as how to deal with, you know, all this stuff when your identity is challenged.
Yeah. No, that's great, man.
I think that's probably one of the better things to practice. I say it that way.
That's great. I absolutely agree. I got one more scripture.
Let's go.
2 Timothy 1.
Mm-hmm.
Verses, let's see, verse 12. 2 Timothy 1, verse 12. The writer's making a point here, and he says, "For this reason I also suffer these things. Nevertheless," we talk about "and yet praising him," right?
Mm-hmm.
That's what made me think of the scripture. "For this reason I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed. For I know
mm-hmm.
whom I believed."
Yeah.
Wow. "Things didn't work out for me the way I wanted them to, but it's not bringing me down. It's not adding shame to my life. Why? Because I know in whom I believed. And I'm persuaded
mm-hmm.
that he is able to keep what I have committed to him until that day."
Yeah.
That's good right there.
That's great.
Yeah, man.
"For I know in whom I have believed."
That's it, man.
"For I know."
"For I know."
I love it.
I'm not trying to believe that I believe.
I know it.
I know it.
I love that.
And but he says it while in difficulty.
Correct.
And once again, we were talking about declaring it, opening our mouth and actually saying this, saying the thing that God says about you. And this is what the writer's doing here in Timothy, who we believe Paul wrote it,
yep.
right? "For this reason, I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed." I love that. "Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed."
Yeah, I'd do it again.
"I'll do it again, and I would do it again if I had to." And yeah, they're saying they, right?
Yeah.
You know, we did a podcast on are they, right? Who is they? They are saying, "Oh, you failed so badly. Oh, mm-hmm. this is horrible. Oh, you should have just stayed with the Sanhedrin and became the next, you know, yeah. you know, Paul, Paul, this is surely going to be your legacy." He says, "No, it's not."
Mm-hmm.
He says, "I know in whom I believe.
I love that.
And I'm absolutely persuaded that neither death nor life or principality," I didn't jump to another scripture.
Yeah, I know.
"Death nor life or principality or powers or rulers or anything this present or to come can separate me
That's right.
from the love of God. I'm loved."
Good way to end. I'm Troy.
I'm Bruce.
And listen, we thank you so much for joining us here under the fig tree.